And yeah, the next headline is talking about the 1st of May demonstration that we've mentioned before, but we've released some details. We have translated them into English. I'm going to post them on Gab as soon as we finish the broadcast. But what we have confirmed is that we're going to hold a 1st of May demonstration in Boden, up here in the north, and Ludvika, down in Dalarna, in the center, the heartland of Sweden. And we have the slogan of, "We are no politicians, we are the people," which is a catchy one. Everyone can, you know, get on board with that. I think it sounds very nice. It is the words of a true people's movement, which we aim to be. And Ludvika, obviously, we have a lot of innate support around the Dalarna area. And in Boden is a bit of an experiment. You know, we're running for election with Bo Nilsson for the municipality. And you know, Boden is heavily affected by the Browning. So we'll see how the Boden people will take the real opposition when we come. Because we're going to show up in numbers where they might be surprised that we can amount, you know, whatever people that will come there. It will be a surprise for people because it will end up looking pretty good. You know, it's very clean, it is very organized, and we're very humble people, so to speak. Whereas I'm sure there'll be a feminine mob screaming anti-racist slogans on the side, like usual. But, you know, whatever floats their boat, it doesn't look very nice. And some information about Boden and the municipality is that did some research into what kind of anti-immigration mood there is in the town, and they're in the municipality right now. The Sweden Democrats have 6 seats, which is quite a lot for such a small town. But even though we don't really care about the policies of the Sweden Democrats, it's a good sign that people have been voting for the only alternative that was available to even put any kinds of brakes on these policies. And it is also stated that you can't make changes on a national level in the municipality, obviously. So questions like overall immigration can't be discussed. You can't discuss the army policies and things like that. But what you can do is kind of suggest that begging is illegal. Begging in the way that gypsies do is illegal where they have assigned places organized all around town. That kind of stuff can definitely be criticized. The amount of money being spent on racial strangers in your municipality, that kind of stuff can be discussed. Boden is basically living on immigration nowadays. It's being fed by the state to maintain this massive horde of invaders. And if that were to crumble, you know, if the welfare money would cease, then you would have these people being pushed out into society without actually having any safety net to rely on, which would accelerate the situation, definitely. And then you had a recent instance, which is kind of a black pill, but you had the big grocery store in town. There was usually there's retirees sitting around in these grocery stores. They might have a cafe or they might just sit on benches hanging out. Because I guess that's what retirees in town do. They just go and sit somewhere all day and talk. And it's free sitting at the Coop store, and they sit there and discuss. This area has been invaded as well by racial strangers. They occupy these benches that the old people used to sit on because there's free Wi-Fi at Coop. So they sit there and they surf and they loiter all day. And this is just another example of how the public space is being invaded by racial strangers and pushing the old people out because they have no urgency, they have no aggression. They're not going to talk to these people and tell them what's what. So what happened recently was that there was a stabbing in the store where one of these kebabs were upset and stabbed another kebab, and there was a lot of drama. And I've noticed that, you know, for the last year or two, there has been a lot of securitas, a lot of private security walking around the store, which isn't, you know, generally your usual situation in your grocery store around this area anyway. So this means that all the benches had to go because the racial strangers were socializing on these benches. So this is why we can't have nice things, because kebab people stab each other at the grocery store. So it's kind of a black pill. But then you have an old lady making a statement in the local newspaper saying that, yes, there are more gangs nowadays, and it is more threatening being outside. And this is obviously a mistake by the social democratic local rag to publish, but it's an indication that Boden people are noticing that their town has definitely changed face. So, yeah, any thoughts on that? I'm just babbling here.
No, I when you're out in Boden and talking to people, how fed up are people now? Do they want change, or they want to suffer 4 more years, or are they done? What's going on?
Well, it's hard to tell. We've done one public activity so far in Boden, and we had a few people that were positive to us, that knew who we were, and then there was people that were just fed up with the criminals. And that's this one particular guy had a long conversation about wanting to just send the criminals home. I mean, that shouldn't be too hard. But then, I remember Simon Holmqvist was in that conversation, and he said that he tried to push it harder, you know, as you always have to do when they get in. When they get in with that, you know, the criminal immigrants, you will say that, you know, it doesn't matter if they're criminals or not. They're going to replace us. You just have to keep pushing these people harder. And, you know, Boden people will have to notice that they have been replaced to a large extent. Young people don't exist in Boden anymore. They've left town. There's old people and children. That's who live there. And the children will grow up and they will leave, as they have been.
For how many years has this been going on now with the genocide project of Boden?
I believe the early 2000s have been like they have been an official receiver town of refugees. So that's when you've seen the Browning. But it's like I mentioned on a show before, when I was a kid, Boden, a population less than 20,000, maybe 15,000 back then, they had 23 pizzerias in the phone book. Yeah. 23 kebab shops.
23.
I mean, really? Is there such a demand for kebab? Mm-hmm. So, that was early. That was in the 90s. So it's been going on for a while.
Yeah. Well, I hope the people building do the right thing and vote for a change.
Yeah.
Well, they have the chance to talk to us very soon and maybe see what real opposition looks like and stop there. I guess, I don't know if I'm just assuming, but I'm assuming Boden is like many other places up there, that they're traditionally both very social democrat without thinking.
Mm. Yeah, it runs in the blood, sadly.
So hopefully we're going to see a change there as well.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, the solution is presented, so just get on board. You have Bosse Nilsson is aiming to make Boden white again. It's a pretty nice thing. It's going to be beautiful. So now also some notes on Ludvika and what's been going on over there. So Ludvika is also a small town. I believe it might even be smaller than Boden. Might have some stats on that. I don't know. But we've had Per Öberg there stirring things up in the municipality already. He got in on a Sweden Democrat ballot 2 years ago now. Was it already in 2014?
It was 2014.
I think so. Okay. Yeah. So he was, because they had an open, no, I'm unsure, because I think people dropped out and enough people had voted for Per Öberg to take the seat. And it was a perfect opportunity to expose their hypocrisy. So some things that he's managed to do is to have live feeds every meeting. Once a month there is a meeting of the municipality board. And Nordfront TV does the live stream on these things. And you have as much as 8,000 people watching these really boring meetings of traders just agreeing with each other. And, you know, always all the decisions are made beforehand. It's such a theater that they're doing in there. And, you know, they've got everything planned behind the backs of people like the Sweden Democrats and Nordic Resistance Movement. So they got a cozy little show going on there, and Per Öberg has done an excellent job in exposing the hypocrisy. So that was one bill, and in 2015 there was a great push to shut down the village schools. So he went out and did a collection of signatures to get a people's vote. Some direct democracy, and he got more than enough names to have a vote to go through. But the municipality, they can always deny this. No matter how many signatures or how much the people's will is pushing, they can just say, no, we don't want to do it. And they describe it as a people's vote is a blunt tool in democracy. So they want this representative democracy. They're comfortable with that, so they can say no to these things. So the schools got shut down all over Sweden, actually. Village schools got shut down en masse to centralize the children, to make sure that the indoctrination can go ahead as planned, with more tuned teachers, more cultural Marxist agenda being pushed into the children. Because the village schools are the only ones that have sane values nowadays. They're being shut down. And so that's two things. And a third recent thing was that, as people might be aware, our web shop has been offline for many, many months. It is because our bank shut down all of our accounts and all of our payment services. We have done interviews with different banks around Sweden, trying to get accounts, but it has been agreed somewhere up on top that we are not allowed to hold a regular bank account. This is why we can't run a regular business to provide you with cool polo t-shirts like the one in the Båstad Blitz, where Erik Wutterdahl did the Hail Victory. And the plan was that the Nordic Resistance Movement would buy a building in Ludvika, which was the old people's house. It's like a big building, which is like a village house. This house was on the market for 100,000 kroner. So imagine $11,000, maybe, something like that. That's pretty cheap for a big building that we were obviously going to do up. It had a lot of work needed done to it, changing a roof. But, The Nordic resistance movement is full of handy men. This would have been done easily and affordably. So 100,000 kroner didn't seem like much. So they made the offer, and the seller of the house obviously knew the stigma of our movement because we did this officially. So he went to the municipality and asked, how much will you pay for the house? Because the Nordic resistance movement wants this house to run their business. And they said, 200,000, bam, deal. The municipality bought the house. So we were obviously really pissed off at this disgusting corruption that's going on, where they're preventing local businesses from developing in the area, creating jobs for people and creating, you know, lucrative opportunities for national socialists. And this would be used as a gathering place and a store place and a business. So, I mean, there was a lot of activity that got lost on the local area. So he called them out in the municipality. He called them, you know, disgusting traitors for doing this, and that it was a literal conspiracy to do this. And they all came up one after the other and counter-signaled and virtue-signaled to each other about how great it was that they stood up for the democracy, and that if 200,000 was the cost of stopping the Nazis, it was definitely worth it. So Per Öberg went up again and he said that, what are you going to do with the house? You know, what are your plans? And I bet months and months from now, when I drive past the building, it will just sit there and rot because you'll do nothing with it. Well, now it was decided in the local paper that the thing's going to be demolished. So this nice old building in the village house is just going to be evened with the ground and disappeared, because we should not be allowed to have it. So, yeah, that's some Ludvika information. Do you have any thoughts on Ludvika?
No, not really. It's been since Öberg got into the is it municipal council?
Yeah,
it's been like a constant show of brilliance, in my opinion. It's become like the town where people are waking up faster than anywhere else, and these attempts to stop us and block us and take our money away and so forth, they're more like, you know, last twitches of a dying body. You know, it's come the end of this election, we're gonna have way more seats than the ruling class there now would ever have imagined.
What you see when you're watching the broadcasted Nordfon TV broadcasting from his from those meetings, and those meetings are basically the same everywhere you go in Sweden, but finally there is a voice, and there's someone who's challenged those people who are just making deals behind people's back, and the people's behind people's back. Now it's a pretty good insight. People never been participating in that political life, how it works. And you can also see how past participation in the room has increased. You know, it takes time before you get comfortable, and now he's taking more and more room. And he, I think he's one of the people who speaks the most there now.
Mm.
I think that's people who has not seen this before, it's good to check this Nordfront TV out when they're broadcasting from those meetings.
Yeah, and people have been, cutting and pasting and making little summary videos for this these meetings, because they do go on for like hours, and it's a lot of it's real, it's very real when you watch this stuff, and it's funny you know, having someone calling out things like white genocide and that kind of rhetoric in the municipality. It's just it's a very nice tinge. And
I'd also like to say to Robin Palmblad, he has a very creative way of filming. He can put pictures in the film. I don't know how he does it, but it's...
Yeah, that was a thing. Like, he was using their screen, their backdrop screen, like a... I don't know if it's a projector screen that they have behind them. And in the music break, or when they have coffee break, he had a music break, and then he put the video of... was it the SS storming something? It was form of...
Yeah, it was... it's been a lot. I think last time there was some mixture of Hitler speaking and stuff.
So, yes, that's right.
Yeah, and then you have the local media and the mainstream media crying out about this Nazi propaganda in the municipality. Whereas it's only for our video. No one else can see it unless you watch our videos. It's your own fault if you watch it. So, yeah, that's funny stuff.
Yeah, I like those stuff. You had to, you had to push that a little bit. And you're making a little mockery of those people too. It's all good stuff.
Mm. Yeah, another thing I wanted to mention about the march is this really nice fan art video that we posted on Gab. I'll put it in the chat there. It's also in the show notes on Nordfront.se. Very nice video that's urging you to join us on the 1st of May. And, you know, international people are invited. We know that there is... have been trouble because of the hype around the Gothenburg March, but we definitely encourage brothers and sisters from all the white nations to join us and to create strength in us when we walk on the 1st of May, because we're the only ones standing up for white people and white workers in this on this day.